Hi, this is Dan Melton. Thanks for joining us for this podcast of St. Andrew's Weekly Message. I hope you enjoy it. I encourage you to listen through the words to what God is saying to you, and may the peace of God be known through your life this week. Say thanks to our praise team folks this morning. As you can tell, they are multitasking quite a bit, moving from station to station, which can be a little disorienting. It's challenging, and they're doing a great job. Desiree asked me to remind you all that we are so grateful for all those who make St. Andrew's go during the week. There's a thank you slide up there, and we try to keep announcements brief so we don't always get to everything, and thank you so much for making this place go. If you're our guest, we welcome you. My name is Dan Melton. I get to be the pastor of this wonderful network of people called St. Andrew's. And this community in so many ways is powered really by love and care and attention and diligence. So we don't have a lot of staff here at St. Andrew's, and so we're grateful for all those who make it happen. I was thinking this week, if we want to find a character, we're going to cue up a clip here, a character in modern literature and film who often embodies the teachings of Jesus, we need look no further than Forrest Gump. Forrest Gump is an individual who has a supposed cognitive challenge, and yet this cognitive challenge is compensated by all other kinds of superpowers in the areas of authenticity, kindness, and compassion. He is a Superman, Forrest Gump. During his training in the army, Forrest, who meets life very simply, meets a kindred soul in his friend Bubba, who also meets life very simply. Bubba lives near the Gulf in Alabama, and Bubba knows everything there is to know about the shrimping business. Forrest and Bubba decide, as they're scrubbing the floors in the Marine Corps with toothbrushes, that as they have conversations about shrimping, they decide that they're going to go into business after the Vietnam War and split everything 50-50 as business partners. However, sadly, tragically, Bubba dies in the Vietnam jungle of a wound. Nevertheless, Forrest goes into the shrimping business and makes it big, and he keeps his promise and actually gives a lot of money away to everybody, and he gives half the profits to Bubba's family, even though Bubba never got to participate in the business. That was their deal, and he approaches life in a straightforward kind of way. Let's watch. Great film, if you haven't seen it in a while. Whenever we see kindness, integrity demonstrated in the world, we're reminded of one of the central teachings of Jesus. It recalls one of the central teachings. And today we're going to let that teaching be summarized in one short verse. It's in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. And here it is. Jesus is teaching. This is part of the Sermon on the Mount, the extended Sermon on the Mount in Matthew. And he says, "In everything, do to others as you would have them do to you. For this is the law and the prophets. In everything, do to others as you would have them do to you, for this is the law and the prophets." There are a few times where Jesus summarizes all the teachings of what we now call the Old Testament. This is one of them. He summarizes them slightly differently each time, but the central point is the same. He is saying, as you look back over salvation history, all the way back to our father Abraham, as you look back to the giving of the law through Moses, as you look back to the raging prophets who are railing against injustice, he says, if you just boil it down, this is one of the simple, central precepts. Do to others as you would have them do to you. And a lot of civilizations have this as one of their core moral teachings. It's not a complicated idea. Treat others as you would like to be treated, and yet the implementation is so challenging. And actually, I'll just go ahead and insert this thought. The Enneagram gets to the heart of why that is, because there are many different ways to see the world. And if I don't know how I would like to be treated were I in your shoes, I can't do it. And that's challenging. One of the things that we need as we implement, as we practice doing for others as we would want them to do for us, is empathy. We have to be able to empathize with others. And I do find that as I look out into the world, as I watch the news, that there's a lot of self-interest out there. There's a lot of pounding the table about what I think or my opinion or why I'm right. And there's very little listening. and empathizing with others. It seems to me that the first step in implementing Jesus' teaching is empathy. I don't know how I'd hope to be treated in certain situations. For instance, how do I want to be treated in 20 years, 30 years? If you're 20 or 30 years my senior, how will I know how to treat you today? It might take some empathizing for me to be in your shoes to understand. An article in the Guardian newspaper chronicles the efforts of a medical school professor in Germany as she works to help young medical residents understand what it feels like in their body to be old. The author of the article writes, "It's nothing if not depressing. I drop a coin on the floor and bend down to pick it up. The bending is laborious, and with it comes the risk of toppling over. My head is heavy, and moving it causes dizziness. And there's still that coin to pick up, a 5-cent piece, which, with my clumsy hands, whose fingers are not very flexible and lacking a proper sense of touch, seem to defy my attempts to grab it 5 times, 6 times. Those around me joke, 'Hurry up, Grandma, we haven't gotten all day.' Welcome to old age," says Dr. Eckhart, a senior physician at Berlin's Evangelical Geriatric Center, who has just helped me climb into an industrial-style futuristic boiler suit, which should give the wearer of the sense of what it is like to be old. Consisting of ear protectors that stifle hearing, a yellow visor that blurs eyesight and makes it hard to distinguish colors, knee and elbow pads which stiffen the joints, a Kevlar jacket-style vest which presses uncomfortably against my chest, and padded glove, what she calls the age man suit, which weighs around 10 kilograms, has been custom-made to simulate the physical consequences of old age. The writer says, "I have not felt so encumbered since being 9.5 months pregnant or so claustrophobic since climbing into the cramped, hidden space an Iraqi dissident had built beneath his kitchen that I climbed into." Dr. Eckhart says, "My aim is to turn energetic young people into slow, creaking beings, temporarily at least. That way, I hope they will develop a feeling for what it's like to be old, and her hope is to give them empathy and to reignite a passion for geriatrics, which is often an overlooked field in medicine." That's a very concrete example of developing empathy. And there are so many ways we can develop empathy. One of the easiest ways is to stop talking. Is to stop talking and listen to somebody else talk. Trust me, when you stop talking, somebody else will start talking. You'll hear talking, it just won't be the sound of your own voice. And when they talk, you'll learn so much about them and where they're coming from and their life and their perspective. And if you just turn off the judgment filter for a moment and listen and create a non-judgmental space, you'll learn a lot. But not only that, you'll create empathy. Maybe they do seem angry. Maybe they do seem like an angry liberal or an angry conservative. Listen to them as they talk. Maybe you'll understand why. What's their motive? What drives them? Maybe there was a trauma. Maybe there was a tragedy. Maybe there's a passion. What fuels that passion? Empathy. Another thing I think, and this can be a little elusive, but creative imagination. It took imagination for that professor to say, okay, geriatrics is overlooked. I've got these 20-somethings bouncing around, you know, like almost like teenagers are slowing down a little bit. They have no clue what it means to be 88 and to feel arthritic and to have cataracts. They have no clue. So what can I do? And she, wow, what a creative idea to build this suit. Creative imagination. Different ways to connect with people and understand what is it that they need and why. Amelia's going to cue up a video on Vimeo for us about a man named Will who came up with a creative idea. I think at one point he was himself, he's a guitar player. I don't know if he's available. We're looking to build our bench here, right, Justin? You and I could use a little help up there. But he's a guitar player, and he, I think at one point, was struggling financially. And then he had this idea after he got back on his feet. He's going to open up his case and play in the subway, and people are going to throw money in it. And anybody who wants the money, he's not going to keep it. Anybody who wants the money can take it. Let's watch. What an amazing creative way to practice the teachings of Jesus. If you are in the shoes of someone who is homeless or was working but didn't have a place to stay and needed some money or just lost their job, what would you hope for? He imagined that and he provided it. He did for others as he would hope others would do for him. Pretty amazing. So we have empathy. We have creative imagination. And the disciples of Jesus, God will give us that imagination if we ask for it. If we say, God, we are open. We want to know. Lead us, teach us, inspire us. There's a last ingredient that I think puts energy behind this teaching and cultivates us as we practice. And that last ingredient is compassion, or you could say compassion and love together. Youth worker and spiritual director Mike Iaconelli tells a poignant story of how he saw someone in a difficult moment treated in all places of the parking lot of a shopping mall, somebody who had the capacity to offer compassion in a way that I hope I would have a capacity to offer compassion, and this person did. I think one of the challenges with regard to compassion is, again, we move through life. Anybody in here not busy at some point during your week? Most of us are busy, right? Most of us are challenged in terms of schedule. Some of us are very tired. Some of us are worn out. And compassion is something that really comes from a deep place. And if we're tapped out, if we're tired, if we're worn out, if we're strung out, typically compassion doesn't just zoom into the mix there. It doesn't come into the mix. It has to be cultivated in our life with God. That's why our contemplative worship time at 9:45 is so important, because it gives us a silence. It slows us down for a few moments to listen for God's presence. When God's presence comes into our lives, then we have compassion, because it naturally brings that. Just like air comes with oxygen, God's presence comes with compassion that fills us. And so back to Mark Iaconelli's story. Mark is a spiritual director of youth. His books are great for people of any age. He is the son of Mike Iaconelli, who started something called Youth Specialties. Mike was a larger-than-life person, very gregarious and funny. Mark is more of a contemplative and really brilliant in his own way, and he observes. He goes through life observing and recording what he sees in his interactions with youth, but wherever he goes, and this particular day, when he observed compassion in play, he was at the mall. He was looking frantically for a Christmas present for his wife or family member. He writes, "I sat in the food court of the mall, wolfing down Chinese food. Suddenly, into the cluster of brightly lit food stalls came 10 developmentally disabled folks, accompanied by two assistants with sweatshirts that read, 'The Redwoods Group Home.' In contrast to the other hustling and harried shoppers, these folks lumbered, almost otherworldly, through the tables and crowds, smiling, sometimes clapping hands, or yelling with genuine pleasure at the sights and smells of the eating court. With slow and careful effort, the assistants helped each person decide what food to purchase, stand in line, order a meal, pay for the meal, and carry the food back to the table. These assistants spent much of the time conversing and sharing in the excitement of the disabled folks, who were ecstatic about the personal sovereignty they were afforded amidst so many tasty delights. The assistants patiently helped people get their food and get seated before serving themselves. There was one man with Down syndrome, however, who shook off every offer of aid by the assistants. He knew what he wanted, and he wanted to do it by himself. The assistants acquiesced and, watching from a safe distance, let him walk to the McDonald's booth and stand in line. This young man stood with import and dignity, holding a red and yellow coupon in hand. When he reached the front of the line, he handed the paper over to the cashier, spoke louder than he needed to, and gestured toward a stack of various cups in the coffee machine. The cashier obliged, and a few moments later, the young man returned to his friends holding a giant 32-ounce cup of coffee, his face beaming with pride." Mark writes, "I stood up to hit one last door before going home, and after my final purchase, I stepped through two smoky glass doors into the parking lot and found myself behind the folks from the group home. But now rain was coming down in buckets, and the assistants had their charges staying dry under the eaves of the mall entrance. One by one, the assistants accompanied the members of the group across the slippery sidewalk into a waiting van. Back and forth the assistants went, their clothes weighed down with water as they sought to keep the young people dry. As I stepped around the group, I noticed the young man with the McDonald's coffee. He was bent over his hard-earned brew, sheltering it from the downpour. Then, without any apparent direction from the assistants, he took off from the side of the building, spontaneously bolting for the warmth and security of the van. But he stopped halfway across the sidewalk because he was startled by the heavy rain, which was now getting him wet, and then turned to return to the cover of the mall eaves. One of the assistants saw him turn back and yelled to him to continue his route toward the vehicle. Increasingly shocked and confused by the soaking water, he twisted his body toward the voice of the assistant with a quick jerk that caused the 32-ounce coffee cup to slip from his hands and break open against the wet concrete. Across the gray sidewalk, the caffeine flowed like a mudslide. The young man froze, took in the sight of his lost treasure, and began to cry. Soon his body gave way, and he slumped down into the steaming puddle. It was a pitiful sight to see, this young man wailing mournfully, sitting in a growing pond of coffee, the dark rain soaking his clothes. We all looked on in helpless sympathy when one of the assistants, a 20-something woman, stepped out of the van. She ran over to the young man, sat down herself in the cold, wet coffee, wrapped her arm around him, placed his head on her shoulder, and let him cry. For several minutes, she sat there with the patience of God, just holding the young man while the rain poured down. Mark writes, "I stood transfixed, somehow aware that I was gazing upon one of the deep spiritual truths of our relationships with one another, of our capacity to care for one another, of the way in which we participate in the power of God's healing love through gentle acts of solidarity and kindness." Amazing. Compassion. Did that assistant do to somebody else as she would have someone do to her? I say maybe even more so. Maybe even more so. This teaching of Jesus is life-changing. It's not being done out there in our world. Too often, folks like Will, folks like the woman from the assist from the group home, they're the exceptions. And where are the Christians? Are we leading the way? Too often I hear Christians on television screaming just as loudly as anybody else about their position and their rights and their agendas. Where are the followers of Jesus out into the world, emulating the teaching, bringing empathy, creative imagination, and compassion to the world around us, which desperately needs to know the love of God? I think Jesus is saying, how would you want to be treated if you were much older than you are today? How would you want to be treated if you were completely broke or homeless and couldn't afford a meal? How would you want to be treated if you had a diagnosis of Down syndrome and you were crying in the rain because your coffee spilled and you were sitting in it? How would you want to be treated? How would you want to be cared for? And what situation will be unlocked for you this week as you practice empathy, creative imagination, love, and compassion? How might these teachings of Jesus transform your life? Let's pray. Almighty God, I know it's so easy to stay home. It's so easy to go to a place where there's a comfortable rock concert reminder that you love us and get a pat on the back and go home. It's a little harder to dig into the teachings of Jesus and think about whether or not we're practicing them, whether or not we're cultivating empathy and compassion, whether or not they are flowing through us out into the world. And so I thank you for this group of people who are here to dig deep, to bite off a little bit more, that they're not here just for themselves, but to study your teachings. And I pray that you would honor that by filling us this week with your presence. In the same way that oxygen comes with air, compassion and love come with your presence. So may your presence live in us, and may it flow through us to those we meet in the world this week, that others might know who you are, because they are looking at an example in front of their faces. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.